Our treasure can lead our hearts. When we invest our resources, our money into something, we begin to care about it. Our affections grow and we become attached to it. Our hearts follow our treasure. So God says, pre-fund your heart in the right direction. Start giving.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today in our series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, we're talking about giving today, but while that's the topic, I think what we're really talking about is the heart behind the giving.
That's right. That's right. The reason God speaks so much about giving in the Bible is because it's ultimately a matter of our hearts. And he wants our hearts, our whole hearts, our whole lives. And he wants our transformation. And that's what we're going to talk about today, that when we give, we are actually stepping into a space of spiritual transformation where God goes to work in the deepest parts of our soul, in our affections, in what we want and desire in the world, where we're putting our trust. It's going to the very heart of who we are. When we give, we're becoming malleable. We're like wet clay on the table. And Jesus is the potter, and he can start molding and shaping our lives and hearts in really deliberate, purposeful, and beautiful ways. And as we're going to find out today, not only is Jesus molding us, he's actually the very motivation for us as New Testament believers. He's the reason we give, is because Jesus has been so generous to us. And that generosity in the gospel is what is ultimately transformative for our lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, without delay, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we discover this pattern for generosity. This is part 3 of the sermon, Robbing God. Now, beloved, our text today is Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12.
You cannot serve both God and money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, that's the disease underneath all the symptoms. So symptoms, disease, now prescription. Dr. Jesus, what do we need here? Verse 10, look at what the Lord says. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the destroyer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Bring the full tithe, he says, into the storehouse. Another word for the temple, because that's where the poor would go to get food from the storehouse there in the temple. Bring it all in. Test me, the Lord says. Isn't this interesting? Test me. Try me. Try me. I'll prove myself to you. Just obey me and watch what happens. I'll throw open the windows of heaven. I'll send nourishing rain for your crops. I'll pour down blessing until there's no more need. That drought you're having, it'll be gone. I'll rebuke the devourer, those locusts. You won't see them again. The vines will bear fruit. The nations will call you blessed, and you will be a land of delights. Now, these covenant blessings, these blessings that are enumerated here, are clearly flowing out of the Old Covenant. This is the covenant that God made with the people in the Old Testament through Moses. And the basic stipulations of the covenant were covenant obedience leads to covenant blessing, covenant disobedience leads to covenant curse. So the reality is we are not under this covenant, and therefore we cannot claim these promises directly for ourselves or for our nation, okay? So don't go there. It's a bad hermeneutic. But there is a principle here that I think we shouldn't miss, and that is that God always blesses obedience. God always blesses obedience. Now, that blessing is not guaranteed to be material or financial. This is not a deal where you tithe and God gives you a Ferrari, right? That, if anyone tells you that, they're lying. That does not work that way. But what it does mean is that God loves to give good gifts to his children. And when we love him and we walk in obedience with him, he finds great delight in giving good gifts to his children, especially the gift of himself. For he will never leave us and will never forsake us. And if you have God, you can get through anything, right? Now, but isn't this interesting? God says, return to me, I'll return to you. And they say, how do we return to you? And what is the first thing God gives them to do? Give. Open your wallets and give. Why? Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Not only does our treasure reveal our hearts, our treasure can lead our hearts. Do you see that? Our treasure can lead our hearts. When we invest our resources, our money into something, we begin to care about it. Our affections grow and we become attached to it. Our hearts follow our treasure. So God says, pre-fund your heart in the right direction. Start giving. A few years ago, a friend of ours had a flat tire, and I don't do this very much, but the Lord just sort of prompted me and said, you know, go get her a new tire. So I gave her some money to get the new tire. It wasn't expensive. It felt like the right thing to do. But here's what I found over the next couple weeks. I started paying attention to her family and the kids and their needs and the gifts that they had and the good things that God was doing in their life. And I started growing in love because of a flat tire. Because I put a few dollars in the direction of caring for this situation, and it pulled my heart right along with it. Do you want to grow in your love for God? So you love him more and more. You want to grow in your love for your neighbor? So you begin to love them as you love yourself? You want to share in God's heart for the nations to come and know him? Do you want to delight in the flourishing of God's people? Do you want to have a heart that beats for the glory of God and the good of his church? Then lead your heart with faith-filled, joyous, proportionate, lavish generosity. Lead your heart with faith-filled, joyous, proportionate, lavish generosity. Lead your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Friends, the grace of giving is essential to our spiritual transformation. It's essential. I don't know how we could ever grow into the people God wants us to be unless we open our wallets and give. I don't know how we do it. Every word in that sentence is important. Faith-filled, trusting in God and his promises, his provision. Joyous, because God loves a cheerful giver. Proportionate, we are to give as God has prospered us. Lavish, we are to be eager above and beyond givers, just like God. Generosity, we give generously because God first gave generously to us, right? Friends, see, the reason God cares so much about giving is because he cares so much about you. He cares about who you're becoming. That's why he cares. So how much should we give, huh? This is the question you're all wondering, right? How much? How do we apply these Old Testament standards of giving to the New Testament people of God? It's a good question. Do we have to do the whole 40%? Let me rephrase that. Do we get to do the whole 40%? Well, I would suggest that 40% doesn't transfer over real well to our scenario today, because a lot of that was going toward government taxes, welfare, and things like that that we pay our government for, right? In your taxes. So don't worry about the 40% thing. You're welcome. How about the 26% that the people of Israel were to bring to the temple? This was the pure amount that was actually going to God, 26%. And there are Bible scholars who will suggest that this is actually the best guideline to bring forward into the New Testament. Because this is what people gave God in the Old Covenant. Now, I do think there's one important distinction we need to point out between the Old Covenant and the New, and that is that they had one temple to service the entire nation, all the people. So they didn't have local churches in every community that divided up the need and cared for different things. So I'm not sure the parallel is exact between the church today and the temple in the Old Testament. So I'm not entirely convinced by that, but I think we should take that under advisement and consideration, 26%. What about the tithe, the 10%? And it was really 12% once the priests got their tip, right? 12%. Is that a good standard? I want to suggest to you that it's a good baseline. I mean, don't be legalistic about it. You can do more than that, but this is a good baseline. Because, listen, it helps you know where your heart's at. It helps you know where your heart's at. 10% is just high enough to make you confront the idols you're worshiping and come to terms with whether God has your wholehearted devotion. It's just high enough to make you think hard about where your heart's at. Because here's the reality. The Bible also tells us that money is blinding. It blinds us. There's a passage in Luke 12:15 where Jesus says, "Watch out for all the various forms of greed. Watch out. They'll sneak up on you because no one feels like they're greedy." Have you ever met someone who's like, "Yeah, that's me. I'm greedy"? No. Because listen, there's always people around you who are spending way more on their lifestyle than you are, so you always feel middle class and frugal. You always will. And so the reality is no one thinks they're greedy, but if God spends so much time talking about money and possessions, it must be a problem that most of us have. So how do you know if you have the problem? If it blinds you and you can't actually see it when you have it? How do you know? Well, he gives you a line in the sand. 10%. Just give me 10%. And if you gulp, you have the big gulp, like, let that go. Let that do the work. Let that do the work in your heart. Let it help you see where your heart's really at. Now, some of you I know are thinking, well, the tithe is an Old Testament thing. It's not a New Testament thing. We're under grace and the Spirit. That was the law. Why do we carry it over? Listen to me for just 1 second. The Spirit in the New Covenant always outdoes what the law required. So in the Old Covenant, it was don't commit adultery. In the New Covenant, it's don't lust. In the Old Covenant, it was don't murder. In the New Covenant, it's don't even be angry. In the Old Covenant, it was give God a percentage. In the New Testament, it's give God your everything. The Spirit always outdoes what the law required. It makes no sense for the New Testament people of God, having received the fullness of the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, to come up more stingy on their giving than the Old Testament people did. Makes no sense. That if you can explain that to me, come after the service and explain it to me. It makes no sense. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says this. He's encouraging the church to give generously. This is what he says. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." Do you see what he's doing in this passage? He's not playing to your will. He's not like, "I'm an apostle and you got to do it." No, he doesn't do that. He's not manipulating their emotions. He's not playing them videos of orphans with big little puppy dog eyes, you know. He's not doing that. What is he doing? He's pointing them to the gospel. the gospel. Look at Jesus. Look at all the riches of heaven that he set aside when he became poor for your sake to rescue and redeem you. Look at how he gave up all the treasures of heaven to make you his treasure, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You might become a child of God, adopted in his forever family, an inheritor of the kingdom, a co-heir with Christ who will sit in glory with him. You want to know how much you should give, Paul says. Don't sit down with a calculator. Sit down with the cross. Look at Jesus and how he gave everything for you. And then determine in your heart what you're going to give. What will you give to the one who gave everything for you? That's the question. It's between you and the Lord. It's an issue of the heart. The giving is about your relationship with God. And so here's the invitation from the Lord. Return to me, and I will return to you. You want the Lord? Give him your heart. Give him your treasure. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're so glad you're with us today as we dig deeper into giving like Christ. Now, Pastor Philip, that's a powerful statement. You tell us not to sit down with a calculator, but to sit down with the cross. That the cross of Christ becomes our calculus as we now consider this issue of giving. So what does it look like, brother, to have Christ as our standard for our giving?
Well, that's a sobering standard, isn't it? Right? Because, you know, what lavish generosity we've received in Jesus Christ, laying down his entire life to make us his treasure, right? That's amazing. He left heaven. He left comfort. He left ease. He left all of his entitlements. He laid it all down and in humility came to serve and sacrifice and to lay down his life for us. And when you see how much Jesus gave, that becomes, in the New Testament, that's the standard of giving. So we're not quibbling over like a 10% or whatever. Is it net or gross? Those are the wrong questions. The question is, when the Lord himself has given you everything, what is the fitting response of a life of worship that says, here I am, everything I have is yours, not just money, but life and breath and everything else, like my heart, here I am, all that I am. That's the New Testament standard of giving. It's so much higher. It sweeps in and it touches every part of our being. And so when it comes to our money, you know, the principles I think of are like, I want my giving to look like it's faith-filled. Like I believe that God's going to take care of me and I'm living by faith. I don't know how everything's going to work. It's not perfectly mapped out, but I am walking in obedience and sacrificial giving. And so I want to live by faith. And so how much do I need to give so that I live by faith? Not trusting in myself or my resources, but I have to look to God. I want to give in a way that's joyous. God loves a cheerful giver. I don't want to give because it's reluctant or under compulsion, like somebody told me I have to. I want to give because I want to.
Yes.
In gratitude and thankfulness for what Christ has given me. I want to give in a way that's proportionate, right? As God has blessed, I want to give in a way that's proportionate with that. So when I have a good year, and there's, you know, some years are better than others, right? I want to give more in those years than I do when it's really hard. So I say, God, man, you really blessed me this year. I want to give in a way that's reflective of that. I want to give lavishly. God has lavished me with love and generosity in giving me Christ. I want to give in a way that says rightfully, thank you, and is lavish in response. And I want to give in a way that's generous, that doesn't look stingy, that doesn't hold back, that doesn't say, what's the minimum I need to give to comply with the standard? I want to give in a way that it's like, no, I'm clearly not just trying to hit a number. I'm giving because it's the joy of my heart, right? That's
That's who we want to be. And so I think remembering that giving is an invitation into this transformational space where our hearts are being tethered to God and obsessed with His treasure, and that's what God's doing in our lives. That's, I think, the most important thing for us to pay attention to.
Wow. Amen. This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're talking about giving. Brother, we can't broach the subject without, I'm just going to put it out there. You've told us and taught us that the covenant promise was to Israel. And certainly the Bible teaches that God rewards obedience. But in our giving, this is not quid pro quo. I don't give to God because He's going to give me back this, right? This is not what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group of people, you know, in the Christian world that, you know, they teach what's called prosperity gospel, and it's not biblical. It's this idea like if you just give to God, it's like seed money and He'll always bless you financially in response. And so if you're generous to God, then He'll be generous to toward you. And it is a quid pro quo. It's transactional. It's like I've got to invest in this. And then it's like a spiritual vending machine. If I can just put in the right inputs, then I pull the lever and ching, 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 out comes this like perfectly blessed life. And that's not biblical. That is not what Jesus is saying when He says, seek first the kingdom and all my righteousness, and I'll take care of you, and all your needs will be provided. That's not what He's saying. He does say He'll take care of you, though.
Yes.
He does say, I will bless you when you walk in obedience. But that may not be a material blessing, and it certainly doesn't mean a Ferrari. It means He's going to take care of your basic needs, like the birds. The birds get worms, you know, and so you're going to get food. Right? God's going to take care of your basic needs, but it doesn't mean you're going to have this like perfect, affluent, wealth-driven life in this world. That's the wrong treasure. Remember, the treasure is God. That's what He's giving you. And that's the ultimate treasure you can have, not the stuff. It's not about the stuff.
All right. Be encouraged, beloved. Not a Ferrari. It's a bus pass. That's okay. Our listeners are saying, okay, Pastor Philip, I hear you. I'm convinced. Where then should I be giving my money? Is there some counsel we can provide our listeners?
Yeah, I think the first place all of us as followers of Christ should be giving is to our churches, to the places where we worship, where we're being fed spiritually. Our home church and community is ground zero for God's work in our community. And so that's the first place that I think the Bible always instructs us to go, is to give to God's work in our local community. And so that's always going to be my encouragement, is that's the first place to begin giving. Once you've done that, then I think you're open to investing in other things that matter for the mission of God. And so you're looking for gospel faithful ministries that are doing the kind of work that matters to you and your heart in the world. And so there's lots of places doing good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But I think it's really important that we're looking for organizations that are doing good in Jesus' name. In other words, it's not just enough to provide relief of suffering. We got to get the gospel to people, because that's eternal suffering that we can help spare people from. So we want to see an integrated gospel work that's relieving suffering and doing good in the world. And so that becomes the target, I think, for our giving.
Yes. Jesus held back nothing from us. He lavished us. And all of us today, I think we can say that, right? We have been the recipients of amazing, abundant grace. You know, and though we were far from God, Jesus truly lavished us with grace. He moved into the neighborhood to rescue us. Now, to understand the full depth of that rescue, we're offering Pastor Lutzer's book, How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God. Now, whether you're a new believer or you've walked with the Lord for decades, this book provides the light to find true assurance of faith. It's about knowing with rock-solid assurance that you have a home reserved in God's presence because of what Christ has done for you. Now, beloved, this is one of the last days we're offering the book for a donation of any amount. Ask for the book, How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God. To request your copy, just simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001.
215-5001, or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, we'll talk about how God sees all that we do and the final judgment we all will face. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.